The poet Samuel Taylor Coleridge was once asked why he attended so many chemistry lectures. He responded that the chemistry lectures improved his stock of metaphors. I'm not a poet. I was a neurobiology concentrator. But I've discovered that in the same way that Coleridge enriched his poetry by studying science, I have deepened my knowledge and appreciation of neurobiology by studying the humanities and the social sciences. In neurobiology, we learn of two fundamental types of cells, our neurons and our glial cells. Neurons are the cells within our brains that allow us to do everything, from walking and running to speaking and listening. These projections form the foundation of human behavior. Our glial cells are a different cell type. They are the glue that holds our neurons together. In many ways, they are the scaffold that provides the brain its structure. A liberal arts education is like our glial cells. Such an education provides the scaffold on which individuals are formed and allowed to develop creativity and innovation in whatever field they choose to study. Going through college, my interest in neurobiology grew, but so too did my interest in Hindu literature and Dutch Renaissance painting. As my curiosity increased, I developed an interconnected consciousness whereby I thought about the subjects I studied, not as disparate fields, but rather as an organic whole, important for obtaining a total picture of reality. One powerful example of this interconnected consciousness at play is in the work of Oliver Sacks. A renowned author and physician, he's been called the poet laureate of modern medicine. In his most recent work, Music Ophelia, Oliver Sacks beautifully tells the story of a young woman with epilepsy who is indifferent to music. She's never been moved by it. But when she's placed on a drug to treat her seizures, something happens, and she begins to passionately pursue music, listening to classical radio stations for hours on end. This story brings to life scientific questions which may not have been asked before. How does this drug transform a meaningless distraction into a beloved pastime? Why does it happen in this particular woman and not with others? Harvard professor George Daly is a preeminent stem cell biologist, and in a class he taught this semester, we delved deeply into the science of stem cells. But we also studied the patients who interacted with us in the classroom. Like scientists, like artists, we watched their bodies and their movements, so altered by illness. Like anthropologists, we listened to their narratives about how disease had changed their lives. George Daly and Oliver Sacks place science in the context of human experience. Likewise, current discussions of our healthcare reform weave science and the liberal arts together, connecting the economist who warns that expensive drugs burden our healthcare system, connecting the research scientist who labors day and night to synthesize cheaper generic drugs, connecting the historian who attempts to elucidate how we found ourselves with this system of heavy costs and heavier burdens on our healthcare practitioners. We bring together their perspectives to form a complete picture of our healthcare system. We weave together perspectives across disciplines to form a complete tapestry of our reality. In the words of David Desnoe, E.O. Wilson once argued that the reductionist science will one day correct the unempirical humanities. But though equations may describe our world, we do not experience it through these equations. We do not feel the neurotransmitters in our brains that allow us to remember our mother's voices. Instead, we experience the moral to emotions and narrative. We feel joy and we feel sadness. As a neurobiology concentrator, I appreciate and I love science, but I am not defined by it. If I were to take my favorite line from The Tempest and reduce the line to a series of words, a string of letters, a sequence of syllables, the line would lose its meaning. How beauteous mankind is, oh brave new world that has such people in it. Today, let us go forth willing to consider perspectives from all disciplines. Let us reaffirm our commitment to the liberal arts through the development of the general education curriculum. And perhaps Harvard can provide a new generation of undergraduates the ability to read syllables and appreciate the meaning that gives them life.